Tonight I want to do a New Year's Bible study. And it's real simple. I want to mention seven things that we should do every day in 2014. Seven simple things that we should do every day of the year. Now, I know there's many others that I could add, that you could add to the list. For example, one thing that I'm not going to mention is the fact that we should read our Bible every day. And I'm not going to mention that tonight. I mentioned it in the announcements about the Bible reading schedule. And you know that I'm for reading the Bible. I encourage you to read the Bible. And we ought to do that every day. I'm not going to mention that. But I'm going to mention some other things, maybe some things that you might not think about, but some things that I think would make 2014 a wonderful year if we could just practice them every day of the year. So here we go. I have seven of them. The first one is wake up. Good. This is deep preaching, Dan. Wake up. We ought to do that every day. I'm going to add something to it, though. Wake up each day and decide to have a good day. The psalmist says in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, here's what I want to share with you as we think about this. Every day in 2014, God is going to make that day for you. And he's going to make that day for me. He will plan each of our days in the year 2014. I mean, he will plan the things that he wants us to experience that day. He will plan the things that he wants us to do that day. He will plan the people he wants us to meet that day. He will plan the thoughts that will come into our mind that day. He will plan the emotions that we will feel every day in 2014. And not only will he plan it, but he will have a purpose for every single day. Of course, for people that are not saved, that don't know Jesus, his main purpose for them is that they will come to know Christ, or they'll move in that direction. You know, most of us, when we got saved, we didn't get saved the first time we heard the gospel. God had to work on us. The Holy Spirit had to work on us. And so if a person's not saved, God plans each day to draw them closer to their Savior, leading up to that point where they will receive Jesus Christ. But if we're saved, God's purpose for every day is that we move closer to Christ, that we become more like him. And each thing that he plans for each day either adds something that needs to be added to our life to make us more like Jesus, or to point something out to us that should be out of our life that would make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And our desire as we wake up each day and decide that we're going to have a good day is that the end of every day we'd be a little bit more like Jesus than we were at the beginning of the day. Now, I believe that's what God wants for each of us. At the end of the day, he wants us to be a little bit more like Christ than when we started. And so, since, again, just think with me, every day, since God has planned that day for you and planned that day for me, and that in that plan he has a purpose to accomplish in our life every day, and again, sometimes we don't think about this. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Every day, there's no days that don't count in God's economy. Every day counts. He makes every day. And so he plans every day for us as individuals. He has a purpose for you and I every day as he plans that day. So why shouldn't we rejoice when we think that the God who made the universe, the God who sustains it and holds it all together, cares enough about us as individuals that he plans every single day for us and has a purpose for that day, something that he wants to accomplish in our life. So why shouldn't we rejoice and be glad? This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. No day is to be wasted. No day is to just pass. Every day is planned by God for you and for I as an individual with a purpose. Why shouldn't we be glad? Why shouldn't we be glad when we think about that God, January the 2nd, 2014, tomorrow, it's not just a Thursday. It's a day that God has planned for you. It's a day where he wants to accomplish something in your life. We ought to rejoice and be glad that we have a God that cares enough and is big enough to do that for each one of us. So, number one, wake up and just decide, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. Number two, dress up. You ought to get up. You ought to get dressed. And I'm being simple when I say that. But here's what I'm going to say about dress up. The best way you can dress up is to put a smile on your face. A smile is an inexpensive way to improve your looks. I'll just tell you, all of you look better when you're smiling than when you're frowning. In the Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And then Proverbs 17, 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So a cheerful countenance, one that's marked with a smile, indicates a merry heart. Because a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. And a merry heart is like a good medicine, which makes us feel better. You know, I got out of the hospital, I got this pill, it's this long. And it's about this wide. It's a potassium pill. I have to take that every day. I have to cut it in half. I can't swallow the whole thing. I cut it in half. But I'm feeling better. So it's a good medicine. Now listen, God sees our heart. He sees our heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So God can see whether our heart is merry or not. But we can't see that in each other. I can't look at your heart and tell if you have a merry heart today. But I can look at your face. And if you have a smile, I can infer that that smile, that cheerful countenance, comes from a merry heart, and I can infer from that that your merry heart is doing you good because it does good like a medicine. And I'll ask you, again, why shouldn't we have a merry heart? And why shouldn't we have a cheerful countenance? Because God has planned today for me and for you, and he has a purpose. So why shouldn't I have a smile? Why shouldn't I have a merry heart? I heard Brother Harry Beach loaned me a little a CD of a quartet, and it had a little song on there that I hadn't heard for a long, long time. It says, "So let the sun shine in, face it with a grin. Smilers never lose, and frowners never win." So let the sun shine in, face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun, S-O-N, shine in. So, wake up. Dress up. Number three, shut up. Learn to listen. The fact that God gave us two ears and one mouth says to me that we ought to listen twice as much as we talk. And when we do talk, we ought to say nice things and positive things and things that will build other people up. Proverbs 13, verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. I want to tell you tonight, you can get in a whole lot more trouble talking than you can listening. Amen? You can get in a whole lot more trouble talking than you can listening. In James chapter 3, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And what James is saying is if we can discipline and tame our tongue, we got a good chance of disciplining our whole body. So, wake up, dress up, shut up. Number four, stand up. Stand up for what you believe. Stand up for something, my dad always told me, or you will fall for anything. We're losing our country, we're losing our freedoms because we refuse to stand up for what we believe. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." Ephesians 4:13. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." And again, in Ephesians chapter 6, that's a chapter that describes the armor of God. "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, I'll just tell you, I'm not a fan of Duck Dynasty. I've never watched the show, okay? But it was refreshing to hear that the network and the sponsors backed down from throwing this guy off the air because he took a stand and said some things about expressed values that he had when it came to homosexuality, when it came to marriage, when it came to what's right and wrong. It was refreshing that people stood up and came to his defense and said, hey, a Christian ought to have the right to express his values and his beliefs. And again, I don't know a lot about the guy. I don't know other than what I read about what he said and the fact they tried to kick him off the air. And when people stood up and said, no, Christians, Don and I were talking Sunday, you know, everybody wants tolerance, except when it comes to Christians. They don't want to tolerate our ability to stand up and say, this is what we believe, this is what's right, and this is what's wrong according to the Bible. But it was refreshing to hear that they backed down because people took a stand. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man." We are God's salt. Christians are God's salt. He's put us here to preserve what's right and what's good and what's decent. And we're losing our savor because we do not stand up for what we believe. So, stand up. So, wake up, dress up, shut up, stand up, look up. Look up. Look to the Lord. Our strength comes from him. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." The power that spoke this universe into existence, the power that spoke everything into existence, the power that said, let there be light, and there was light. The power that said, let there be a firmament, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The power that said, that created the sun, moon, and stars. And the power that, you know, populated the earth with vegetation and animals and man. That power is available to each one of us to help us. To help us. And there's nothing that I can't do with that power. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so daily, every day, again, these are things that we got to do every day in 2014. Daily, I need to claim that strength, that power. Daily, I need to claim from God what I need to win the victory for that day. Now look, in God's plan for the day that he planned, there's no plan for us to be defeated. There's no plan for us to step back. That is not in God's plan. And he will give us every day what we need to win the victory that he wants us to win. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We need to start living in that truth. There's too many Christians that are discouraged. There's too many Christians that get down by what goes on in the world. Look, it may appear that Satan's winning, but we've read the last chapter. We know who's going to win. And it's not Satan. So, wake up, dress up, shut up, stand up, look up. Number six, reach up. Reach up for something higher. Press on to what God has for us each day. We sing that song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, God has an upward trek for us every single day. He wants us to keep moving onward. He wants us to keep moving forward. He wants us to keep moving upward. If I acknowledge him in all my ways, in every area of my life, he'll direct me in the past, in the upward ways that he wants me to travel that day. Now, we can try to live each day of our life with our own understanding. But why would we do that? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that his thoughts are higher than ours, and his ways are higher than ours. And the only way that I'm going to get higher, the only way that I'm going to put... I was thinking Colorado approved recreational use of marijuana effective today. And a lot of people are... I heard on the radio coming to church tonight, this marijuana, they said, this is not your dad's marijuana because it's more potent than, you know, people used in the 60s. And so people were renting motel rooms so they could buy their pot and get high and not endanger their life. How stupid. Why would anybody with any sense do that? I don't need pot to get high. I have a God who wants me to get higher every day with him and walk with him. And the only way I'm going to do that is not lean on my understanding, but trust in his. And that's the key. To trust him and to be obedient. All right, wake up, dress up, shut up, stand up, look up, reach up. And then number seven, lift up. Lift our prayers up to God every day. He invites us to come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petitions known. He invites us to call and he says, I promise you, I'll show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. There's nothing you need to worry about or fret about or be anxious about. But in everything, there's nothing we can't take to the Lord in prayer, nothing that he doesn't want us to bring before him. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He said, don't worry. You can bring everything to me. I have a plan. I have the power. Just trust me. It says in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A lot of Christians don't have peace today because they're not praying. They're not asking God to work like only he can. And he says, look, don't worry about anything. Bring everything to me, and I'll take care of it. I'll give you that peace. And I know sometimes when we're in the midst of things, we look to heaven and we say, God, where are you? Why aren't you taking care of this? Look, he's got a plan. His plan's not our plan. His ways are not our ways. I mean, we can't understand how he's going to work. We can't see the end, but God can. We just need to trust him. We need to take things to him in prayer and not worry about it and claim his peace every single day. So again, seven simple things that we ought to try to do every day in 2014. Wake up. Say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Dress up. Put a smile on your face. Make your heart merry and let that merry heart cause a cheerful countenance. Shut up. Learn to listen twice as much as we learn to talk. And when we say things, let's use it to build other people up. Stand up for what we believe. We need to stand. Look up. Reach up. Lift up. If we practice these things every single day, 2014 can be a wonderful year. We're at the end of day one. There's 364 to go. Just remember, every single day, God made it for you. Every day. Every day. Don't waste one. God doesn't make a day to be wasted. Every day he makes, and he's got a plan. We just need to trust him. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.